Everyone, I'm Wujie John, and I'm going to talk about an utterance comparison model that we're proposing for speaker clustering using factor analysis. Okay, so I'm first going to define what we exactly mean by speaker clustering, because the term is used under different contexts with slight, you know, subtle variations. In our study, we defined speaker clustering as the task of clustering a set of speaker homogeneous speech utterances such that each cluster corresponds to a unique speaker. And when I say speaker homogeneous speech utterance, it means each utterance, which is like a set of speech feature vectors, contains speech from only one speaker. The source and the number of speakers are unknown. So the applications of this, it's applied in speech recognition, for example, when you want to use a predefined set of speaker clusters to do a robust speaker adaptation when the test data is very limited. It's also used in a very classical method of speaker diarization, where you want to solve who spoke when problem. So this is in a very classical setting. Speaker diarization is when you're given an unlabeled random recording of an unknown number of unknown speakers talking. You want to determine the parts spoken by each person. So if you have an example here, it's just a 60-second recording of a conversation. One thing you can do is you can just divide it up into small little chunks and assume each chunk is one utterance, meaning it only contains speech by one person. You do some kind of labeling of each chunk, and then basically, you have your clusters, the first cluster here, the second, and the third. And if the number of clusters is the number of speakers, and each cluster actually contains speech by only one person, then you have perfect speaker diarization. Of course, in reality, you may have actually done something like this, where some utterances are mislabeled. Sometimes there may actually be more speakers than clusters, or there may actually be less speakers than clusters. These are the kind of errors that can occur. So this is, again, just a sort of classic speaker diarization method. Of course, there are more state-of-the-art methods that don't use this rigid form, for example, variational inference. But here, let's look at this classical method first. We have a speech signal. You segment it into these speaker homogeneous utterances. And then you use some kind of distance measure to compute the distance between the utterances. You merge the closest utterances, check whether some stopping criterion is met. If it's not, then you loop back and you continue clustering until you're done. So some popular distance measures for this task, given two arbitrary speech utterances, X of A and X of B, what is the distance between them? You have things like the generalized likelihood ratio, or the cross likelihood ratio, or the Bayesian information criterion distance. And again, for both GLR and CLR, you have to estimate some GMM parameters from each utterance, and then you compute likelihoods, and then use those to create some kind of ratio that determines, you know, how close these utterances are to each other. So what we are wondering is, can there be a better distance measure? I mean, for example, if you look at this GLR and CLR, they're mostly purely mathematical constructs. I mean, they don't really have a rigorous justification on how they compare utterances based on actual physical speaker similarity. There's no real statistical training involved. So in that sense, they're kind of ad hoc when you just plug them into a speaker clustering task. And to address these problems, there have been trainable distance metrics that have been proposed, and eigenvoice-based methods. Especially the eigenvoice and eigenchannels and factor analysis, this provides a very elegant and analytic framework for modeling interspeaker and intraspeaker variability. And we want to try to use this to come up with something that we think is a more reasonable distance measure or method of comparing utterances. So the first thing we thought was, how would we define a way to compare utterances? And what exactly are we trying to do when we cluster? If you have two speech utterances, if we think that they came from the same speaker, then we should cluster them. If we don't think they came from the same speaker, then we shouldn't cluster them. That's what we're basically doing. So we just define our a probability that the two speakers were spoken by the same person, and that's our similarity metric. So how would you define that probability? Well, if you knew perfectly the posterior probability of each speaker given any arbitrary utterance, this P, W, I given X, if you knew that, then you could simply write this probability, H1, which is the probability that, which is the hypothesis that X of A and X of B, which are two arbitrary utterances, come to the same speaker, and then you can just simply set up the equation this way, just using very basic probability, probability of XA, probability of XA producing speaker WI, or let's say, given the utterance X of A, what's the probability of your speaker being WI, and then the probability given X of B, what's your probability that your speaker is WI. You just multiply these two, and then you just sum up over all the speakers in the world. So capital W is basically the population of the world. So, and then you can also, similarly define the null hypothesis where X of A and X of B come from different speakers, and then you simply do the summation for the I's and J's, which are different. And then it's very easy to show that these two probabilities are going to add to one. So these are exact equations, just very basic probability. No one can question these. But of course, they're totally impractical. There's no way you can really know these posteriors. So this is where factor analysis comes in. If you have a speaker-dependent GMM's mean supervector, you can model it as a UBM mean supervector plus some eigenvoice matrix multiplied by a speaker factor vector plus an eigenchannel matrix multiplied by a channel factor. And assuming that each unique speaker in the world is mapped to a unique speaker factor vector, Y, then you can just change your the previous equation we had. We just replaced the W's with Y's. Of course, this still doesn't have any practical value. What we want to do is we have to mold it into some kind of analytical form where we can introduce the priors that we have on Y and Z. So the first instinct is we have this constant summation of the P's, so we just change the summation to an integral. So, and this is wrong. You can't do this. The first thing you have to realize is that the summation is over the speakers, not the y's, whereas the integral is done over the y's. So you have to actually get into just the really basic calculus and the probability theory and break things down into the Riemann summation forms, and you actually get, this is actually the correct form you get for the probability that the two utterances are from the same speaker. And this equation of form actually, it actually turns up in other different contexts too, which is quite interesting. Here you see that you have a W at the denominator, which means that if W goes to infinity, then this probability goes to zero, which intuitively makes sense. You're trying to calculate the probability that they came from the same speaker, but if you have infinite number of speakers, then yeah, that probability should go to zero. So now, all we need is closed form expressions for the prior P of X and the conditional P of X given Y. So the first thing we did was we simplified the problem by ignoring the intra-speaker variability. So let's just say that U is zero, and then just use, say, S is M plus VY. So we just have the eigenvoices, not the eigenchannels. And then the second assumption that we said was that, before I go into that, there are two identities that we have to use. Just take just the gist of these two identities is that first, any Gaussian any Gaussian can be written as a Gaussian with respect to the mean. The second identity is that the product of two Gaussians is also a Gaussian. That's all you really need to know. It's not going to be a normalized Gaussian. There's going to be some scale factors at the beginning, but it's essentially just going to be a Gaussian. And then another assumption that we make is to simplify the computation is that we just assume that each vector in each utterance was just generated by only one Gaussian in the GMM, not the whole mixture. Because if you use the whole mixture, then the computation just becomes too complicated. So now you can see here that the mixture summation has just been replaced by a single Gaussian. And how to decide which mixture generated which each frame? Well, one way is to just obtain the maximum likelihood estimate of Y for each utterance, which then fully describes all parameters in the GMM, and then just use, and then for each frame, you just find the Gaussian with the maximum occupation probability. So Now, you can see that this conditional has basically just been a multiplication of Gaussians. That's all we have. It's just a whole string of Gaussians multiplied together, where we know that when you multiply Gaussians, you get another Gaussian, although it's not going to be normalized. So you just continuously apply that identity to pairs of Gaussians in this whole string of multiplications. And you don't need to pay too much attention to all the mathematical detail here. The gist is that if you keep going, you're basically just going to get one Gaussian multiplied by some complicated normalization factor, which is now entirely dependent on just your observations and your eigenvoices and your universal background model. And this also allows us to obtain a closed form solution for the prior as well. And here, again, everything in the integral is just going to be multiplications of Gaussians. And then at the end, you're just left with one Gaussian that's integrated out from negative infinity to infinity. So it just integrates to one. So now that you've basically destroyed your integral, and now you're just left with all these factors that are just based on your input observation and your model parameters and your pre-trained eigenvoices. So plug everything in here, and then again, pretty much do go through the same process. And this is actually the final form that you can get for any two arbitrary speech utterances, x of a and x of b. You can actually compute the probability that they came from the same speaker. We don't care. It doesn't matter which speaker that is. We're actually marginalizing over all the speakers in the world. And this is basically the closed form solution that you can obtain for this. And if you look at this solution, you can actually see that. For each utterance, you just need a set of sufficient statistics, D and J, and these are sufficient enough to just compute your utterance comparison function, then this probability. So, in some settings, when you don't want to keep all the input observation data, you can just extract these sufficient statistics, and then just discard the observations if you're in a constrained memory environment. So based on this distance measure, we just applied it to the classical clustering method of doing speaker diarization for the call home data set. And we just used a measure for cluster purity, and then a measure for how accurately we estimated the number of speakers. You actually have to use both of them in conjunction. It doesn't really make sense to just use one of them. And these are just the optimal numbers that we were able to get using the four different distance functions. We used 680 phone conversations. Number of speakers range from 2 to 7. Just 12 MFCCs with energy and delta. Dropped out the non-speech frames. We used eigenvoices trained using trained using I think it was the it was a switchboard database, and here you can obviously see that the proposed model gives much better performance than the others that we tried. This isn't really in the paper, but you can actually do an extension to the model. We actually originally discarded the eigenchannel matrix for simplicity, but now you can actually include it and then go through the same process. It's actually a lot more involved, but again, you can eventually get this kind of closed form solution where now you're also involving the eigenchannels that model the intra-speaker variabilities, and you can actually easily show that this simplifies to the previous form we had if you set the eigenchannel matrix to zero. And so we actually tried this too as an additional experiment using intra-speaker variabilities using eigenchannels matrices that we trained. I think it was using the Macrophone database, and that actually improved the accuracy of the call home task by 1 or 2 percentage points. And there are actually more extensions that you can do here. You can actually also derive this equation of form for the general case n speakers instead of just two. So that's pretty much it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So we have time for one or two questions. Question So I have a question about the database, the call on database. Is there any overlapping speech in this, or?
There was, but they were all, each channel was recorded separately. So when there was overlapping speech, I basically just discarded one channel and then just use one channel to ensure that there's only one speaker talking for each utterance. Since we're only doing the clustering task, I just use the manual transcriptions to obtain the to pre-segment the utterances. So the utterances were basically perfect. Yeah.
Okay. And so you didn't try to see what happens when it's overlapping, just to see whether it creates a single a new speaker or something.
No, that would be interesting to try. Hmm. Yeah.
Okay. No other question? Yeah?
Sorry, I didn't see any comparison with Bayesian or fully Bayesian or semi Bayesian approach.
So you mean like variational inference or?
Yeah.
Yep.
I didn't see you.
Yeah, I did try it with the BIC. The performance actually wasn't too great, so I just didn't mention it. Yeah. For this task, it just seemed like the GLRs and CLRs gave better results. Yeah, than the BIC. Yeah. Excuse me. Excuse me, can't hear you very well.
You mean that the GLR is better than the BIC experiment?
Yeah, it actually did better. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I wish I had the NIST RT database, but we didn't have it, so,
okay.
You know.
Yeah, but maybe it's because of this the sampling rate, or it's phone calls, so it's phone calls that you recorded, so. Is it 88 kilohertz or 60? Maybe it's because of the range, of the frequency range. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember if the call-in was 8K or 16K. Oh. 8K, okay.
Okay, thank you.
Right. Thank you.
Yep.